A Shishkin Productions podcast.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of This Is Real.
You got your wires crossed there for a second.
Wires crossed. We're sizzling. We're almost so late that we're early, in a way.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Get the delightful double from The Sizzle Reel.
Look, it was, it just didn't make sense. You were out of town. I was super slammed with the project. And
yeah, we'll get into that.
That's how that happens.
I was on vacation. I did vacation. Yeah. I said, you know what? I'm going to Chicago.
Chicago.
Chris is wearing his Dominican hat today.
I am. It's true. It says Key West on it. It's very, very Dominican.
It just looks like it, though. I like it. For the record, I like that hat. When I say it looks Dominican, it's a huge compliment.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I didn't take Dominican as an insult.
Well, you seem like you did. We'll gloss over. We'll keep going. The person we have on the show today.
Yeah.
She used to work with Dominicans.
I thought it was a Dominican.
Oh, was it one?
I think it was a single individual Dominican.
I think that was that. She. I think we established that, like, you know, like what, 30 episodes ago.
Yeah, I still don't understand where it came from.
I don't mean either.
Was it really part of the show, or was it office antics?
I think so. We got Amy.
What's up?
What up, Amy?
Former Dominican.
Y'all have
coworker.
Never worked with Dominicans before?
I've worked with one right here.
I worked with a Dominican.
I don't know where maybe that came multiple. From either. It's
It just happened. It just happened. Yeah. Amy, you got the fucking swaggy jacket today, you know? And does it have like the, that. It comes, the sleeves come off, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can tear them off.
This is like
Michael Jordan.
New Adidas.
That's what if I was getting ready to eat, I would tear those off.
Yeah, that's good.
My eating sleeves. Chris, where can the people find us before we start? This is going to be a short one.
I forgot. Where are we?
We're
300
here.
Times. We're at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleReelGang@gmail.com. Send us an email. We're Sizzle Reel Gang. Sizzle Reel Gang, the website.com.
Yep,
it's new. It's improved. It's a good ass website.
It's good.
And most importantly,
this is real cold line.
Yeah, there we go. Someone needs to bring the energy. It is
332-333-4361. Bop, bop. Call in. Leave a fucking message. Leave one. Leave a few. We have gotten a few messages.
Yes.
One of them is some scam call. And then Joe left three of them. So they're all pretty long. I'm just going to play one of them and we'll see what happens.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Joe Nana, long-time listener, first-time caller. So in terms of footage that we get that's sort of shitty, we go and try to film most of the stuff on our own, which turns out shitty half the time anyway. But when we hire somebody, or if somebody at a cable station says, oh, we have somebody here who can go out to site and film because we can't make it to market or for whatever reason, if that footage comes back, you know, completely destroyed, we just resort to more graphics, a little more sound design, try to distract people from the, you know, sort of video side of it. You can cover up a lot with graphics and effects and just say it was some weird style that you were going to. I still think it's more important to get good audio than it is to get good video.
I agree with that.
Especially if you have somebody on camera, because you can always cut away, use stock footage, do whatever. I'm speaking from a 30-second commercial advertising sort of side, not like a movie side. So that's just, my perspective on that. All right. Congratulations on 3 years.
thanks. I think I don't know what that was in response to some shit that we talked about with Coop. I think that was one of the questions that was what's it called, the fucking
someone on the board was upset about bad footage.
Yeah, I mean, we literally were just talking about this before we started. I was like, production and post-production are two different things in my opinion. Yep. And that is why we don't market ourselves as like we don't shoot, we cut. You know,
yeah.
We'll develop the idea and we'll cut and we'll do graphics, we'll do color, we'll do sound, but we're no
guns,
rarely
just
are we going to shoot it. No guns, just blades, baby. That's going to be my next company, Just Blades Incorporated.
Yeah, you do kind of have to like lean into the, if it's bad footage, you have to like lean into a very specific look, whether it's like a VHS look or just really add on a bunch of film noise or something like that.
Degrade it even further.
Exactly.
Or like for me, I mean, I kind of go with what he said. Just don't show it. Just show like stock instead, or yeah, show graphics or some shit like that. I don't know. It's that's how it is. Sometimes footage is bad.
Yeah, the client gets the project and it's like, where's all the stuff we shot? It's like all B-roll and whatever. That's funny.
I mean, it happens. It happens. With him, it's easier because it's 30 seconds, you know? If you need to make like a 10-minute video, you're kind of at the whim of what the footage is.
Yeah, that's just how it goes.
All right, Chris, what have you been up to this week?
This week...
You had a wild one.
Yeah, it's been a long week. So I think we mentioned on the last episode that I was going to be taking on a project that is more or less, it's like a 45-minute kind of documentary style piece, sports related, kind of, it speaks about a specific game that happened. And when it came to me, it was just like bare bones. Like the structure was kind of there, but most of the B-roll wasn't. Like it was like almost as if an assistant editor had taken his first stab at it before handing it off to the editor. It was kind of in that shape. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I didn't have any of like what the assistant editor would have organized. I received a project that I guess it was consolidated, and any clips that were used on that sequence were transcoded, just that
segment,
that segment of the clip plus like 24 frames of handles.
Yeah.
So anytime I had to like move something more than 24 frames, I would have to dig back into the raw, match time code. It's been a massive, massive undertaking. And honestly, like I was pretty proud of how far we got with the piece in the time we did it. So we were more or less picture locked by Saturday. There were like a couple small notes after that. And then, you know, Monday came around and I was like, cool, time to online, send a color and sound. And then the rest of my week is going to be really chill.
And that's when it started.
Yeah, that's when it all went downhill.
It's true. It went way downhill. Am I right?
Yep. Yep.
Am I right?
So
what's so funny?
So I received
thinking back on your week.
Yeah. It's been a hell of a week. So we were supposed to get the drive, maybe the middle of last week. It still hadn't arrived. Friday came around, hadn't arrived. And I was starting to get a little nervous, and it finally arrived on Monday at like 5 PM. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was supposed to have sent everything off to color and sound around that time. So I get the drive and it was late. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go home with this now that it's here, and I'm going to work from home and just make my life a little bit easier. I had to take care of the dog, all that. And I get home, I plug the drive in, it clicks a few times and then it starts spinning. Exactly. And then it makes a grinding noise. More or less. And it never shows up in Finder. And so I didn't have
dead drive.
It was dead on arrival.
You called it DOA. Yeah, dead on arrival.
Well, and it, you know, it wasn't the way it was packaged. It was just shoved in one of those USPS, you know, if it fits, it ships kind of boxes with no styrofoam, no padding, nothing like that. And it's like an old spinning disc G drive. So no surprise that it didn't make the trip, even though I have had a G drive run over by a pickup truck and survive.
That's a classic story.
Yeah, classic story.
I put one in my backpack once and it didn't survive. So
it's the luck of the draw. Yeah, huh?
Really,
it's really the it's like a baby. You can't shake it.
Yeah, you can run it over with a car, but you cannot ship it. You can't ship it.
I don't think
it.
You can run a baby over.
I don't care if that baby fits. It will not ship. I'm not shipping a baby to you.
So that was kind of a panic moment. And why do you keep showing me a piece of paper that says meatball?
No, don't tell the listeners.
Okay.
That's how I get Chris's energy. Inspiration. It's like some people have a carrot on a stick. He has a meatball on a stick.
I was starting to panic. I let the producer on it know what was going on, and I was letting them work on solutions. And in the meantime, I still had to get everything to color and sound. Sound, that was fine. I was already, you know, set up to do that. But color, I only had the raw for the B-roll. So I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to layer these two out. B-roll will be on one track, interviews on another, and I will just send over a ProRes and EDL of just the B-roll for the colorist.
Right.
Which I, you know,
that's a good way to spend I mean, you're working with what you got.
Exactly. And, you know, the dates were already booked and we weren't going to make the deadline if I didn't send him something. Mm-hmm. So I do that. I was up until 4 or 5 in the morning doing that because
it's a 45 minute thing too. That's part of the reason.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, when I sent it over to the colorist in the first place, he was super excited and was like, wow, this is going to be great. There's like over 600 clips to work with. And so that's roughly how many.
He said it's going to be great.
Yeah. He was excited to work on it.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
But he was like, it's 600 clips. Awesome. I'd be like, whoa, fuck.
Well, he probably was like, I'm going to get paid for this. But
little does he know.
Yeah. Little does he know. But, so
I just showed Chris that meatball picture again. So he's giggling.
So I sent that off at like, I actually fell asleep waiting for it to upload to WeTransfer, and
that's cute.
So when I woke up,
you're just like laying in bed watching it upload,
more or less. So I fell asleep, and then so I did get a transfer link, not send the email.
Right.
When I woke up, it was stuck on 99% and had been all night. So I had to re-upload it. So I lost time there.
Oh my god! I didn't know that part.
Yep. Yeah, so the colorist didn't get it until like noon that day.
I thought this was going to be like one of the like a week episode where we just kind of had nothing to talk about.
Dude, I could talk about this project for the entire show probably.
Chris has had a hell of a week.
We'll do a part two next week after you've ego's death to yourself this weekend.
And keep in mind, this is a holiday. It's Indigenous Peoples Day.
That's
Monday
true.
I was
celebrating.
I worked from 11 a.m. until 6 a.m. the following morning.
I had biscuits and gravy.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Is that why you
sent me that menu?
Yeah, I've had it twice. Yeah.
So that happened. And then right around the time that's happening, I get a call from the producer and he's asking me about the audio. I sent an AAF out instead of an OMF.
By request?
It could have been either. Well, the thing is they wanted embedded audio.
Did they source the audio person? Or did you?
They sourced the audio person, and this audio person seems super legit. So I trust that they're going to do a good job with this.
Yeah.
But I sent that off the AAF, and apparently some stuff at the beginning was like messed up with it, and I'm not sure why. So then they were like, "Okay, just send us an OMF." With embedded audio. However, I just learned that the maximum file size for an OMF is 2 gigs. And
weird.
This was about 3.5 gigs worth of audio files. So I couldn't embed the audio. They had to come as separate audio files. So then I was looking up more information about Premiere exporting AAFs incorrectly.
Yeah.
And I did find a workaround. I exported my sequence as an XML. I opened it in a new project. Okay. And
my head is spinning.
And then I exported that as an AAF.
Every so often, Amy talks about how she wants to learn to edit.
This whole week has just been troubleshooting for me, honestly. I haven't even been editing. It's just been tedious shit and troubleshooting. So then I exported that AAF, and then I re-imported it into Premiere just to double check that it worked. And it did seem to work. But, you know, at that point, we had already lost most of Tuesday for sound.
Oh my god. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
So
just hearing about this, I'm just like, I'm so glad I was at Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah, keep in mind, for this entire process I'm basically on an island, like I'm by myself.
Well, and literally.
Yeah,
I mean,
in all the ways.
Brooklyn is an island.
Sure. Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, so keep that in mind.
I mean, everything's an island eventually.
This is why people come for the stories about editing. They stay for the philosophical hot take.
Of course. So where was I? Okay, so I sent
you're
that
on
off.
Island.
And that was,
where was I? You're
that
on was island.
Great. So now we still have the issue of getting the full res interviews. The first thing we try is, we can do Signiant Media Shuttle. So I sent them a link and, you know, things started uploading. It was great. And then that was kind of going overnight.
Are they East Coast?
I think they're based in Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Damn. So those drives had to go through customs.
Exactly. And I think that's part of why shipping was such a A PETA.
PETA Griffin?
PETA Griffin.
That accent went crazy. That impression, I should say.
Yeah.
Where was that?
PETA Griffin?
I don't know. I can't do it.
Okay.
Not on the spot like that, at least.
I think we're up to...
I'll interrupt you later.
We're up to Tuesday. So this is Tuesday night where this upload is going to our media shuttle. Wednesday morning, the producer reaches out and is like, hey, how far along is this? And I was like, well... Of the 2 terabytes, we have about 200 gigs, and it says that it's going to take another like couple days. And so,
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with their upload speeds, must be garbage.
Yeah.
But so from there, we're like, crap, this isn't going to get here on time. So the producer, I think, talks with the other company, and they're able to overnight a FedEx drive. And it actually arrived today, this afternoon, around 12:30 or whatever.
Today.
Junior.
Yeah, Junior.
PETA Griffin.
PETA Griffin.
There we go. See? I just needed to get out of my head a little bit.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
What so, have I gotten myself into?
So
no one knows.
Yeah. Alexi can't,
this is an island.
Alexi can't sit and listen to a story without interrupting it in every possible way.
The listener loves it.
So around 1 p.m. today, I finally get the drive. I open it up and it's a little case that has two different SSDs in it. So I plug the first one in and it's working. It's great. And has the majority of the interviews that I need in full res. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then I'm like, okay, I think this has everything, but let's see. So I start onlining everything, doing the same crappy process where I match time code and swap yep. things out. And then I get to an interview that is not on that drive. And I'm like, oh, this must be on the other drive. So I plug in the other drive and I get a new message. Yeah, it's kind of funny because right before this happened, I had texted with the producer.
You were like, it's looking good. We're almost across the finish line.
I said, good news, drive in hand. Probably going to take a couple hours online, whatever. He says, awesome, sounds good. What an ordeal. I say, no kidding. Fingers crossed. There's no more surprises.
Uh-oh.
10 minutes later.
Foreshadowing.
10 minutes later, I say, unfortunately, one more surprise.
Oh, geez.
So every time I plug this drive in, I got a message from macOS that says the disk you attached was not readable by this computer.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you were on an island at that point?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. Because no one was in the office yet. So still on an island.
Yeah. I mean, was that today?
That was today.
Jesus Christ. I can't believe that he went through all this. I played soccer.
So I...
Chicken Caesar wrap.
So I let him know about that and I offered a couple possible solutions. I was like, one, there's only like maybe a minute's worth of these interviews because it was from a different shoot day. So that's why it's on a different drive.
Oh, I see.
So it's not the majority. It's not the bulk of the interviews. It's just a couple spots here and there. And I was like, what I can do is I can push in past the time code at the bottom. It'll go to about 115 on because they're 1920 by 1080 transcodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you can still get a decent color grade off them. The delivery is a 1080p anyway. So
right.
What's the big deal? And so Kyle's like, well, let me see if I can get them to upload just those specific ones to Media Shuttle. So that's happening as we speak. They're probably going to be done at like 11 or 12 tonight. I'm going to download that from home off our server onto the drive so that I can just work with those last few clips tomorrow. Cool. So I sent the transcoded clips to the colorist to have them color it. But the producer is asking me to basically, if I can get those full reses in time, to just put those on top of the color and add my own
match it.
And match it the best I can. So
it's a lot.
Yeah. So that's what I'm up
hopefully
to.
Hopefully the laptop doesn't restart for Media Shuttle.
Oh God. No, I don't think it will, but I'm going to double check before I leave.
Yeah.
But all that said, I wasn't able to send the interviews off to color until like 4 or 5 o'clock today. I don't know if the colorist is, I know he works at night sometimes, but I don't know if I'm going to get that back tonight or if I'm going to get it back tomorrow morning. I still have to download it. I still haven't gotten the sound mix back. And to top it all off, we are leaving town tomorrow.
Yeah, yes.
We're leaving town at pretty early in the afternoon, I'd say. I still have to like drop my dog off and like do normal life things around it as well. So,
I mean, you've had a hell of a week, but hopefully it all comes to a nice end, and then you can enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, that's the goal. I'm hoping that it's not hanging over my head over the weekend while I'm trying to trip balls, because then I won't be able to trip, honestly.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, I feel like that would be way too stressful.
Yeah. At one point, this thing is going to premiere on broadcast television. Well, it's actually OTT. It's over the top, but it's going to stream.
It's going to be on Apple TV, buried somewhere deep in their fucking impossible to navigate menu system.
It's on it. But just like thinking about it, this whole thing probably cost, between shooting and post-production
and all of that,
$200,000, $250,000 for I don't even know who's going to watch it.
Yeah, that's kind
of... fans of those specific teams, maybe?
That's how I feel about all content, but that's such a bigger philosophical discussion. That's why, I really value things like TikTok and YouTube, because, they're kind of the best barometer or, comparison of, whatever, fucking sucks to call money and value the same thing, because they're really not. But, money put into it versus value gotten out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's, you spend... not that much money on the thing, and the people get value out of it, and you need less of that value to offset the monetary spend, which, again, like I said, that's a fucked up mentality to begin with. But
I am gonna get a credit on it. There is gonna be credits on this. I don't know how exactly it's gonna work, because I'm sure there will be other editors credited as well.
Creditor.
I hope I get the lead editor credit, if that even exists. Because
I hope so too.
I fucking worked for it, I'll tell you that.
That'd be sick. You put it on IMDb.
Yeah. I mean, and it's cool. It's been kind of like a roller coaster of emotions on this project, because it's been a lot of work and it's been really stressful.
Yeah.
But at the end of last week, Saturday, when we were basically picture locked, I was feeling really good about it. I was like, damn, I busted my ass. Producer's happy. They sent it around to their team, and everyone, there were just a couple minor notes, and it's like, cool. That means it's basically, it's good and people are happy. But then this week, full of problem, there's problems with the colors. Something about the way the sequence was set up that was given to me, I think that's what was part of what was causing those AAF problems. Cause I also, when I sent the MOV over to the colorist, sent him an EDL along with it at a decision list.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work for him.
Oh, weird.
So I did it again, and I zeroed out the time code, and that didn't work for him either. So he had to do it himself in Resolve. So somehow I've never messed up sending anything to color or to sound. And on this project, it happened with both of them. And I was already so stressed out. I had to miss volleyball. I missed volleyball, bro.
You missed volleyball.
I was about to leave. And then I got some, another request, or I think that was when the audio shit came up.
Bro.
And I was like, damn, this thing's taking my life away. I had to work 3 days of a 3-day weekend. Ugh.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I'm sorry that you had to deal with it. I mean,
I didn't have to. I could have said no.
Yeah.
But,
it's just frustrating to take on a we talked about this last week, but it's frustrating to take on a project if you're not taking from the beginning, because sometimes it's smooth and it works, and other times what can go wrong will, and it's really frustrating.
Honestly, it still would have been fine if we had 3 weeks allotted instead of 2 weeks, or maybe 4 weeks, just if we had a little bit more breathing room to work through these issues, it would have been so much less stressful, just because we wouldn't be up against the clock. But that's not how this industry works.
Yeah, sometimes it gets a little crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing it. Appreciate it. And hopefully that transfer comes in and it's not crazy.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think anyone's going to notice if we use the transcoder footage. It's 1080. It's going to look good.
Yeah, I think it'll look fine.
Spam risk.
Yeah. Chris, that you were up to a lot. Literally, we could do a whole episode on it.
I worked more in the last 2 weeks than I might have worked
in the last
all
six
year.
Months. Yeah, probably. I mean, probably. I've had those periods. Amy, what were you up to last week?
I mean, I feel like I can't say anything after Chris's story. My week was fairly chill. I had a couple of spreadsheets that I'm working on, but nothing crazy.
That's cool. I was on vacation, and then
How was the play? Interactive theater type?
So yeah, so it's like immersive. Yeah, there was a company called Third Rail Projects who did a project here called Then She Fell, which was Alice in Wonderland inspired immersive theater piece. It shut down during the pandemic because, you know, they couldn't keep doing that. And the company behind it, Third Rail, they decided to make their new thing, and the new thing is called Port of Entry. It's in Chicago right now, and they're partnered with the Albany Park Theater Project to put this on. It's an immigrant story, and the thing about the Albany Park Theater Project that I didn't realize, I just assumed, oh, it's theater, they're just going to be actors. They're a community theater thing.
Oh.
So all of the actors are anywhere from freshmen in high school to like in their 30s. So
really?
You had a very vast range of actors in it. And at first I was like, this is going to be sketch because like, I don't know, community theater or whatever. And it's Chicago though. So everyone's like good at acting. Sure. So like they actually crushed it and it was incredible. And it's really cool. You come into like, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but you come into this area where it's like a front courtyard and then there's like multiple apartment doors, and you go through one of those doors and someone takes you to their apartment. And like the way that my experience started was we started in the Filipino immigrant family's apartment, and pretty much you're in like a small group of five people, and at some point in every experience they break you up. Either you go one-on-one with the actor, or like it's a small group of you two and an actor, and everyone gets different things to do. So into the Filipino one and experienced that, and that was cool. Then from there we went to a Mexican family, and again I say this, not all the characters are of this descent, it's sure. Just that's the act, right? And then the third one was a like an Indian family, and then the fourth thing was like this kind of catch-all thing that was just the set was designed in like everyone was wearing gray and silver, and all the walls were painted gray and silver. Supposed to be like black and white to kind of take you back into the memories of the past people who have lived in this building. So you experience things from like Jewish culture, from Korean culture, Japanese culture, and Polish culture. It went back into like kind of all the different people who have come through Chicago and through this country, really.
Gotcha.
And it was just fucking awesome, man. It was really cool. It was surprisingly good. I was a little bit concerned because I was like, oh my God, we're watching community theater, but it's quite good. Happy to support it. Good time.
Well, I'll be in Chicago in a few weeks, so maybe if I have time, I'll go check it out.
You should just check and see if there's tickets, because the tickets all sold out the first day they released them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But maybe you could figure something out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to the thing that I've been talking about this whole time and waving this piece of paper.
Yes.
This is the meat of the show today.
Oh, yeah, that's the why. Meatball.
That's
okay.
The meatball.
The meatball of the show.
It looks like a cloud.
It's not related at all to video editing or video production. I just remember I sent it to you random. What did you think when you saw my random Slack or text come in? You can walk the people through it. What did it say?
It said monster draft, and there was no other context around it at all. I looked at it and I thought, do I
what time
ask?
Did it come in? That's what I want to know.
Oh, it was like yesterday afternoon, I want to say. Okay. Or maybe it was the evening. I'm not sure. I was at my computer and I had Slack open, so I saw it immediately.
You're actually working on a real thing.
That's basically what I was like, do I ask him about this? And I was like, no, I don't have time for this bullshit. Find out some other time.
You had already, I knew about the monster draft.
He knew. I texted him.
I knew about it before yesterday.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
No, there's no way, because I texted him right when I saw it.
No.
Yes.
Because when we were out on Tuesday.
That's when I texted him.
Yeah, it could have been Tuesday.
Okay. Chris said yesterday. So
my days are pretty messed
October
up right 10th. Now.
October 10th,
that
I wrote
was
to
Tuesday.
Him. 2:42 p.m.
Okay, okay.
Monster draft.
Oh, yeah, 2:42.
Okay. I thought it was yesterday. I was like, wait, because we talked about this when we went out, and then that's when I said the monster draft.
Yes. And then
a la Monster Mash.
And here we go. Did the draft. They did the monster draft. It was a draft. It was a monster draft. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. That's why I didn't follow up. I was like, it's pretty self-explanatory.
It explains itself. So we're doing a monster draft. I guess the only real question is, how do we want to do the draft? Four or five?
Let's do three.
Three?
Just three. You know.
3.
Speed it along.
Okay. Well,
it's going to be tough. So
it's hard to narrow down to 3. I think we should do 4.
It's hard to narrow it down to 3.
That's what I'm saying. So we should
is
do
it?
4.
No, I'm at, is that, that's a, but between
I
all
have
of
a,
us,
I have a list of a dozen.
But between all of us, yeah, that's what I'm
I think
saying.
We should each have 4. I think it's going to okay. be cooler because it's going to go pretty fast, I think.
All right, fine.
So now,
Chris
what
gets
I want
to go first because he had
also,
a rough week.
Yeah. What I think saying? I, well, this is not my show, but if you were asking me, I would say it's open to interpretation.
Oh, 100%. It's whatever you want
it's
it to be.
It's just your favorite monsters?
Yeah, it's monsters,
yeah,
whatever you want it to be.
I mean, it could be like, you could have multiple reasons why you chose this monster to yeah. be okay. in your draft.
Yeah.
We don't all have to have the same reasons.
Yeah,
is
of course.
I mean.
I agree. 100% agree. All right. So having laid that foundation down, yeah. we'll go like this. We'll go just round it. We're not going to go snake style. So, Chris, you get first pick every round.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Amy, you're second. I'll go last.
You don't. You want me to go
last?
Yeah,
I want you to go second. I'll go last.
All right,
I'll
fine.
Go last.
So, my list, like I said, I have maybe a dozen that
just
I just
start with one though.
I know,
you
I know.
To draft,
but I'm just saying.
Chris starts naming them all.
Relax. some of them.
Chris is not with the bullshit.
Some of
Chris
them
is not well.
Some of them are like classic movie monsters
okay.
that mm-hmm. laid the foundation for everything.
So, that we're gonna open with?
No, okay. not necessarily. Some of them are kind of more specific, only appeared in like one film franchise in the
like
80s, that.
That
kind of thing,
right.
or a single film, or it's just kind of a silly monster uh-huh. that doesn't really make sense.
That's
but,
mostly what mine are.
Okay. So where I'm going to start is with the Cookie Monster.
Good one. What a
oh,
great first pick.
Yeah.
The Cookie
yeah.
Monster is a solid
yeah.
first
everyone,
pick.
Everyone hears monster and they think, you know, big, bad, scary villain type.
Sure.
They don't
no,
have
the,
to
cookie
be.
Monster
the Cookie Monster
is only,
my favorite kind
only
of monster.
A threat to baked goods.
That's a good
which
point.
You.
Oh my God. That's what that was my nickname once in a
I
while.
I like that.
Amy.
All right.
What are you thinking?
Cookie
Monster, solid first pick. Really
I'm gonna,
solid.
It very solid. Hard to compete with that. I'm just, because it's still available, I'm going with the first on my list, which is Audrey 2.
Oh, that was going to be
wow.
my second pick.
Oh, see, good thing yeah. I took it yep. now.
That's a really, really good one.
From Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, explain to the people who might not know Audrey 2.
Oh, well, Audrey 2 is the bloodthirsty plant from Little Shop of Horrors. And really, I would say kind of like wins the story, you know, yeah. like... doesn't and multiplies really and just gets to keep living on.
Damn.
So
it's poignant,
feed
isn't it?
Me, Seymour.
Feed me, Seymour. I'm gonna go with the Blob. I don't
Ooh.
Know much about
yeah,
the
Blob,
but
a good one.
It's pretty funny. It's a big old blob.
It's pretty funny.
It just kind of fucking crawls
now,
around the street.
Yeah,
which
does
I
the
like.
Blob I don't think I've seen that. Does it like roll around and like absorb things? Is that what it does?
It's like a Katamari Damacy kind of thing. No, I don't know anything.
I've never
know
seen
anything
it.
About oh, the Blob. Okay. I just yeah. think it's a funny ass name.
It is a funny
and
name.
It's a good nickname for someone. The yeah. Blob. I got a friend named Blob.
Blobbo.
Blobbo. All right, round two.
All right.
See, it's going faster than I thought.
Yeah, okay, that's why I talk so much at the beginning. This is a difficult one, but I'm continuing my theme with James P. Sullivan, aka Sully from Monsters
that
Inc.
That was on my list too.
Yeah,
so
Monsters
you
Inc.
You got one.
That's
of them.
Really good, yeah. Sully. Why Sully? There's a bunch of monsters in there.
Because Sully is like, he's really the star monster,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
In that film,
he has the most scares.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And you know the whole. Movie
you don't
is
like
about
Mike Wazowski?
He's good, but he's not the kind of monster who goes and scares the kids, you know? He's more of a...
I like him because he's funny.
He is funny. He's, yeah, yeah Billy Crystal is very funny.
Yeah. I think if we were all cast as Monsters, Inc. people, I'd be Mike Wazowski. You'd be Sully.
Yes.
And I think Amy would be... whoever the other character is. It's the little girl, I
the
guess.
Girl.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
I forgot her name. She's so cute.
Amy B. Randall.
I like Randall.
Randall's cool.
All right, that
all
was
right,
a
so
good one.
Sully, huh?
All right, got yep. that one
not,
swiped.
Not the pilot Sully.
No,
okay,
not,
good.
No.
Just making sure.
Not Sully Sullenberger. He wasn't a monster. He was a hero. He still is. He's still alive, as far as I know.
Peter Griffin? See?
Meatball?
Meatball?
All right. I had to switch things up because one of mine got taken, drafted.
We're going back and forth. Yeah. I think me and Amy are on the same page.
Did you and Amy pull up the same list on Google?
I had like 8 lists.
I kind of like thought of things on my own and then consulted a list. But anyway, I'm going to take Beetlejuice.
Ooh. Oh, see, I wasn't sure if Beetlejuice was a monster or not. He was on my list, but I...
Yeah, I guess he's not... He is.
He's he's like an undead ghost type. Yeah. I think monster is a very broad term.
That's why I texted you like in such a fervor, monster draft, because I was like, there's so many of
there's
them.
A lot.
Like, there's so many of them.
All right, well.
So Beetlejuice is a really, really solid one.
Yeah.
Did you see the musical?
I saw the movie.
Lauren Boebert saw the musical.
Yes, she did.
Saw more than the musical.
Yeah, I was like, was she even paying attention?
She saw a monster that night.
That's pretty interesting. Okay, all right, Chris. So we got Cookie Monster and Sully, Audrey, who actually look very similar. Audrey 2 and Beetlejuice, who kind of come from the same realm as well. So it only makes sense that
both
for
musical type.
Yeah, true. And they came around the same era.
Yep.
For me, you know, I got the Blob. And I'm going with this meatball's making a comeback. The Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a really good one. And when I said this meatball's making a comeback, I wasn't describing me coming back. I'm not the meatball.
Are you sure?
There's a... Good thing there's no visual portion of this. No one can see the meatball that I'm flying around over here.
The atheist icon, Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I think it's a cool little monster.
You
like,
can't prove that it doesn't exist.
I can't. And that's what's so cool about it. It also has meatballs for eyes. Spaghettis for tentacles.
Yeah.
So it's pretty lit. Does it have meatballs for eyes, or am I just making that up?
It's a meatball with meatball eyes.
I think it. No, it's pasta. It's stringy.
Have you not heard of it?
Look, type it in, Flying Spaghetti Monster.
No, I got it. It's the pastafarians.
Yeah, but type it in. I want to see. Oh, you have it up. Okay, never mind. Its eyes are spaghettis.
Oh,
yeah. So there you go.
Its eyes are actually eyeballs.
It's got big meatball cheeks though.
It's got a meatball face.
I hope those are cheeks.
of some sort.
All right.
Round number three.
This is a tough one because I have so many good ones. And part of me wants to take like a real classic monster, but I'm not. I'm going to take the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters.
Really good.
Really good. Chris has all the cute monsters right now.
You already know.
Stay Puffed.
I'm going to finish strong if I have a chance.
All right.
I've never seen that movie, but I did know that that was all miniatures, right? They filmed that with
that
miniatures.
Makes
I think so. Oh, and you know, didn't we talk about on the show, was it Unreal Engine or something along those lines where they had a real time Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man?
That's what I was thinking of.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking of. So it wasn't miniatures. It was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It was all fake. Fuck. Really didn't nail that one.
All right.
So Cookie Monster, Sully, and Stay Puffed.
Pretty good. My third pick is going to be the Babadook.
Oh snap. The Babadook is lit. Apparently that one's really scary.
That's a great movie.
It's a really good movie. It's definitely creepy. I mean, some people are like, it's the scariest movie ever. I watched it fine. It's a little creepy.
I thought it was, anytime you see a coat hanging on a wall after seeing that movie, you do get a little bit tense.
Or like,
Lisa still doesn't like that movie because it scared her.
Even like a towel hanging on I refused to see it
because I thought it was going to be really scary. So I never.
It is scary.
It's pretty scary. It's one of the best made horror films of the last decade.
The Babadook is a good monster.
The language. Because it was best made horror films of the last decade. I agree with that. I haven't seen it, but I agree with it. I've seen it on lists, at least.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? No.
Are you on lists?
Am I wrong? Babadook.
His name is actually Bob O'Duck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's Irish. He's Irish guy. Yeah. Bob O'Duck. Blobbo O'Duck. Mine is the Gremlins. I'm putting all the Gremlins.
God damn it.
I'm putting all the Gremlins on that one.
Chris, Gizmo was on my list as well, but seeing that you were going with the fluffy theme, I was like, I'm not going to take Gizmo. I'm leaving Gizmo for Chris.
Mine's all the gremlins, including Gizmo.
Yeah,
all
Gizmo's in taken.
Well, Gizmo is like the bundle. Like, you can't.
Gizmo's a Mogwai.
He's their rep.
Yeah, that's true.
Though.
Yeah.
Oh, Mogwai?
But like if. But
the gremlins
if,
are what the Mogwai turn into.
So, same idea.
Yeah, but if Gizmo like didn't come into play, then the gremlins wouldn't exist.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they grew out of him because he. Got the water. Anyway.
I'm taking everything in that. I was saving it for you. I don't know what other fluffy monsters you got.
I don't have any other fluffy monsters, unfortunately. However, I do have I think it's a funny monster.
I think it's a funny monster.
But I'm not sure if you guys will know this monster. It is the Graboids. From the movie Tremors. So
Tremors. That movie's so fucking campy. I love
it. The worms?
Yeah, it's the worms that come up from underground to try to eat Kevin Bacon.
That's pretty good.
I just really like that movie. I think it's a silly movie that doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's still like, I think it holds up.
I think it's a great movie.
It's a good
movie. What's the
movie
called again?
Tremors. Interesting.
Worms from Tremors is what I wrote down. Pretty solid four right there, Chris.
Yeah.
Cookie Monster, Sully, the Stay Puft Man, and the Worms from Tremors. You kind of went off the rails at the end there. But
well, that's because you stole my pick.
I stole it? I don't think I stole it. I think I picked it.
Yeah.
I should have let the Stay Puft go till the fourth round.
No one would have taken that. You should have gone to Grimes.
Yep.
It's okay. Live and learn.
All right. Well, I'm doing it. I am taking the monster of all monsters.
Uh-oh.
I'm going Godzilla.
It's got to be Godzilla.
Great pick. Yep. Godzilla is
I feel like I've
baller.
Got a super solid list, and I was like, Godzilla's still available. I'm going to take him.
Jeez Louise. That's really solid. Audrey 2, Beetlejuice, Babadook, and Godzilla. That might be the one, honestly. That's got you beat.
It's a good team.
It's got Chris beat, unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, does Alexi take Mothra, or...
You know, I would love to take Mothra. Mothra is an honorable mention for sure, but I'm going with one that's you guys might not consider this a monster, but I think he is, and it's up to you to
Charlize
think what
Theron.
You want to think. It's the Grinch.
Grinch is definitely a monster.
I think he can be a monster.
I'll put the Grinch on there. I think the Grinch is kind of a monster, and he's funny. He's funny looking. He's got, I always say I got a Grinch type body, you know? I'm a Grinch body type, you know? Like, that's my thing.
I can see it.
I got a belly.
Like
got
a Grinch.
Yeah, I'm built like the Grinch. I'm built different. So the Blob, Flying Spaghetti Monster, Gremlins, and the Grinch. I think those are kind of... They all go together. They work together. You know, it's an oddball assortment.
No, I like
pretty
it.
Good. If you have a favorite monster, maybe even give us your top four. Give us your four.
Top four from those who have not been selected, because these have all been drafted.
Yeah, we already picked all of them. If there's one that you really liked that we drafted, you can say that too. But 332-333-4361. Call in. Let us, Matt Merrill, call it in and tell us. Which monsters do you love? You know, tis the season, you know,
the season
is upon us. Fall time, monster season.
It is monster season.
Now, I'm surprised no one, that you're surprised no one took.
I do have some honorable mentions. Let's see.
I think all of the
Krampus.
Krampus, good one.
Ooh, Krampus.
I didn't take Krampus because I've never seen Krampus, so I don't really know, but I'm under the impression that it's the monster version of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
King Kong, classic.
Good one.
Didn't get taken. Cthulhu. Didn't get taken.
I was thinking about it, but I went Flying Spaghetti instead. They're similar. Yeah, same family.
The Demogorgon, the Xenomorph from Alien,
the Demogorgon.
Predator.
Oh, you had a long list. Oh,
wow. Pyramid Head from Silent Hill.
That might be a little too specific. The Dementors. That's a good one I didn't think about.
Yeah, the Basilisk.
I was going to say the entire Monstars squad from Space Jam.
That would have been a good fourth selection for me. Yeah.
But
what about the big Red? Is that his name? The fuzzy monster from Bugs Bunny?
Yes, I know who you're talking about. Yes, that's
that
him.
One.
Really, that whole Daffy Duck episode where he's playing a Duck
Neon
Tracy.
Neon Noodle.
I should have put Neon Noodle on my fucking list. God damn it. Honorable mention, Neon Noodle. 332-334-361. Matt, call in. You might talk about a Neon Noodle of your own or something.
Whoa.
Whatever. I don't know. All right. What we learned last week? All right, Chris, what'd you learn, dude? You learned a lot.
Yeah. I actually don't know what I learned. I think I learned about AAFs, which is, you know, an audio file. That was something that I learned. I learned to never take over a transcoded and consolidated project. If I ever take over a project like that again, I need to have all the drives, all the footage available to me immediately. Yep. Just ship it to me normally, and I will run proxies myself. I will spend a day doing it. I don't ever want to do this type of workflow ever again.
Yeah, I agree with you. I learned about Turo.
Oh yeah, so
it's you can get a car on it. So I'm getting someone's Honda Accord tomorrow.
It's like Airbnb for rental cars.
We'll see how it works.
Cool. I did a Turo when I was in Hawaii in 2019.
It's been around that long.
Yeah, and it was great. Because I was staying like downtown, didn't have a car, but I wanted to go to the North Shore, and then I somehow found this app and I drove around the entire island. Like, it was such a fun day. So it's very cool. It's Turo. The only time I've ever used it, though.
Turo gang.
Yeah. I learned that the B60 bus is fare free until March of 2024.
I think there's a pilot program
with five buses, one in each borough. And yeah, I happened to take the B60 bus today. I had already paid for another bus, so it didn't really matter that it was free, but it was still cool.
Where does the B60 go?
It goes to the Williamsburg Bridge and then up like Morgan or Wilson. Yeah, Morgan to Wilson. And I don't really know where it ends, like probably somewhere in Bushwick, or
I think it keeps going even through that. I don't really know, but I've taken it one time going up Wilson. But Q54 today was free as well because the thing was broken.
So
that's always nice.
I was like, this is fucking sick.
Some, you know, if you have like three people in line behind you, it's always free because you tap your thing, it doesn't work, and they're like, just fucking move.
Yeah,
the B60 goes far. That's why it's probably selected. It goes all the way through to Canarsie. So goes through a lot of neighborhoods. Wow. So it's a real, I mean, I hope it works. It's a cool program. Shout out MTA, not really getting
everyone
shit together.
Everyone was joking. They were like, when they announced that, everyone was like, bus is always free, man. You just got to walk on.
That is true.
It's true. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Chris, where can the people find us and all that kind of stuff?
We are at @SizzleReelGang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleReelGang@gmail.com. Send us an email. We are SizzleReelGang@thewebsite.com. Mm-hmm. It is new. It is improved. It is a good ass website. And most importantly, we have the Sizzle Reel Cold Line.
Oh my God, it's so cold.
That is 332-333-4361.
Call in, tell us what monsters did we miss? There's still a lot of time left in October. And you have a couple weeks to get your calls in about what monsters you want.
Maybe
most
we
to talk
have
about.
A supplementary draft.
A monster entry draft.
Yes.
The M list.
Yeah, the M list. Tell us about monsters you like. Tell us about a time when you took a project over from someone. Tell us about the time you made a spreadsheet or went to Chicago.
Tell us about the time that you took the bus for free.
Tell us about the bus.
Tell us about the bus.
I can guarantee Joe Nana has never been on a city bus. Call in, let us know. Bye.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.